Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have, like, a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Today's episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast is brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Ponco Chicken. The new Atlanta restaurant thrives off of a unique spin on Japanese and Western cuisine and is already racking up the awards, winning best-selling taste in the Taste of Atlanta Awards both in 2017 and 2018. So if you're in the metro Atlanta area and are wanting to try something new and good and delicious, go to Ponco Chicken today and tell them that I sent you over. You'll be glad you did, I promise. Ponco Chicken, where eats meets West.
Chase Thomas Podcast. The Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, welcome back to a Thursday night edition of the Chase Thomas Podcast. Count on Vic is here, and I can count on her being on this podcast this week. You never know. Ooh. Week to week, but this week I could count on her.
I tried. I know we tried a few times, and that's my bad, but you know, things come up in the NBA world, and I'm glad that I can be here, and thank you for having me.
I still don't necessarily completely understand what you do, Vic. Can you
here we go. It's just, you know, it's a little bit of everything. I feel like for the last 3 years, I've really worked hard on building a vast network that has a little bit of nightlife, a little bit of fashion, a lot of NBA contacts, whether it's brands. You know, I've consulted for Jordan Brand before. I've done a lot of things with Adidas and Nike and Jordan Basketball. And it kind of just happened in the sense that I didn't really know where this was going. And, you know, now I have the podcast with Slam. I kind of get to talk about what I do more on there. But there's just a lot that I can't even talk about, whether I'm working with an athlete. And, you know, people kind of see that finished product on social media. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just a lot of behind the scenes stuff that I mostly do for players, for brands. And then there's the stuff that, you know, people see, like I did the Converse takeover on Instagram for their first hoops event with Kelly Oubre, like things like that. But yeah, I don't really think, like, I'm kind of like Rich Paul. You know, Rich told me this during draft week, actually. He said something like, I don't like being called an agent because it doesn't really convey everything that I do. And that's how I feel. There isn't really one thing that I do. But
Well, the NCAA wouldn't like to call him an agent either.
Oh yeah, the NCAA would probably give me shit for just breathing.
But go on. Yeah. You were saying something else.
I'm just here to like, you know, do my best on that end. Just try my best for athletes, and for brands. And it's kind of like a lot of dot connecting. Like I connect dots in that sense. And you know, just people just hit me up for things. So if I can make it happen, I make it happen. And most times you can't count on it. Sometimes, you know, like if I can't do something, then I will do my best to learn that whatever that new thing is, you know, because the athlete relations side didn't really happen until recently where, you know, I was kind of growing that network and that is my value that I bring in. So whether a player needs, I don't know, dinner in New York City and then I make that happen, or whether it's like, you know, when I had dinner with Rich and Draymond, that was like a last minute thing. Hey, we're here for 2 days, where should we go? I was like, I got it. Or it could be,
that might have been the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life. I got it. Like when talking about it. Rich Paul and Draymond just hitting me up, like, oh yeah, that's you're underselling all of this, but continue.
Draymond and my boy Nick, who works with him, was worked with him for a long time, about 6 years. He's like, hey, we're in town. Where should we go? Do you want to meet up? Do you want to meet up? And then Rich came through, and it was the most fascinating 2 hours of basketball conversation I've ever been a part of, and I've been a part of a lot. So, Rich,
I'm sure
just,
you can't really divulge why that was interesting.
No, I can't really go into it. But I will say he's just someone that, you know, it's a privilege to learn from him.
Who? Draymond, Rich, or?
Rich. Okay. I mean, Draymond is great. I love Draymond. But Draymond, all of us were kind of just sitting there listening to Rich for 2 hours, which was, you know, that's how captivating the man is. But it's just like a lot of real shit that I personally really just identify with, you know, kind of not the immigrant part. I'm an immigrant, but he just also kind of started from nothing, from zero, in the sense that, you know, obviously he has the powerful friendship that he has with LeBron, but a lot of people would just write someone else's coattails when this man legitimately built up a business that's so successful that now the NCAA has to make rules to kind of try and marginalize him and put him in a box, you know?
Have you talked to him about this at all?
Touched on it a little bit, not the NCAA stuff, because that just happened, but I was very lucky to be, to have that dinner and, you know, get to know him a little more, and that was really cool. But, you know, that's just, things just kind of happen in my life. Like, you know, I can't really plan one day or 1 week or 1 month in advance. It just kind of like all kind of happens, you know?
Okay. Do you want to eventually just be an NBA agent? Is that kind of an end game for you?
I don't think an agent would be right for me. Manager, yes, because, you know, I do a lot of managing as it is. But when you're an agent, there's a lot of restrictions because you can't necessarily there's like rules and regulations with that. Once you become an agent, you can't talk to everyone so freely. Like even if it's a brand or something in that sense, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I like my freedom. That's why I haven't really tied myself down to one company that I want to work with. So
or job title.
Or job title for that matter. So yeah, so it's kind of just like, I'm 26 now and I'm still, you know, a lot of people ask me, they think I have my shit together. Like I'm figuring it out as I go, you know? But
is this what you always wanted to do? Did you kind of have this just kind of laid out when you were in college or growing up?
No. You know, college for me was interesting. I went to NYU and I did psychology. And that's the thing that I feel like is my niche. Like I'm good with people. I'm good with talking to people more than I would have ever been on paper with math or chemistry or physics or whatever the subject was. You know, I was always more of, okay, I can read people well, I can read a room, and I can like make myself valuable in the sense that people will remember me. And I think that's a skill that I didn't really know I had until people started telling me that I had it. And then I capitalized on it, you know? So, so yeah, it's still like a moving, learning process for me. Like as the league is evolving, I'm evolving. And I feel like there's a lot of things that I didn't know a year ago with a lot of the backhand stuff that happens with athletes and brands and agencies, that now I kind of know how to maneuver my way through those. Yeah. And I'm very, very lucky. Like, yeah, I'm an immigrant and all that, but like I came to New York City at the end of the day, and New York just gives you a platform. Like if you're a go-getter and you shoot your shot, literally I tell people, just ask. Like a lot of people hit me up and they'll be like, well, how do we get this? Or how do we do this? Because we saw you do it. Just ask.
Right.
Like a lot of people,
I tell people
will
that a lot too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it certain guests or anything like that. Like the worst thing they can say is no.
And what do you have to lose?
Right.
Like I had Jason Stein on the pod today and it drops tomorrow, but Jason, you know, started a business from nothing, also went to NYU, and built Laundry Service and Cycle, two of the biggest businesses. And Laundry Service handles everything for Jordan Brand and for and a lot for Beats as well. So he built and then sold now recently millions of dollars worth.
So he's doing okay.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing with Jason. Like he told me today on the pod, he gave me a quote. I think it was by Steve Jobs. And he said, if I'm doing something today that it was a quote, something about like, if you're not doing something that you want today or tomorrow, then what are you doing? Like, just go for it, because we all die at the end of the day. You know what I mean? So with this thing, I didn't really plan it. It just kind of happened. You know, social media was a big part of it. I got a lot of attention for just personal, you know, views on the game. And just a lot of it was jokes.
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. You know, that's my favorite player. And I always tell people, like, I finessed a career just to meet Kobe, and I got to meet Kobe and I got to work with Kobe. So
how is Kobe? How is working with Kobe?
Kobe is a very creative guy. And I didn't really like work with him on, like, it was just Dear Basketball, and it was through his movie. And it was just a partnership that we had with this brand that we brought in. I can't say what the brand is, but it was really, really cool. And it was when the movie had gotten nominated and they just wanted more exposure on it so he could actually win, which he did. He's just a very, like, when Kobe followed me on Twitter in 2013, he said, I'm following 100 fans, and I was one of them. I was like 19, and I was so hype when that happened. And he was just very genuine, and I didn't think he would be. Like, that was my favorite player, but I knew how intense he was, and I was like, there's no way he's going to talk to me. I'm a nobody. And he was very genuine, and throughout the whole, like, when he sees me, like, first of all, his memory is crazy. Like, I will say this, like, Kobe, LeBron, and James Harden they'll know your face. If they see you a few times, they'll know who you are. Yeah, they peep everything, especially Bron. Bron peeps a lot. And
which seems even more, like, if I had to guess who would be least likely of the three, it'd be LeBron. Just because he meets so many people across so many different platforms, and I'm awful with names and faces at this point. Like, I tell people, I'm like, I think I've reached my quota. My brain reached its quota on how many people I could just insert in my life, that if I don't see you three or four times, I'm not going to remember you at all.
Right. So the way I am, I'm good with faces, but names, I'm horrible. But if you think about how talented and detail-oriented these players are, because Kobe and LeBron are the best at what they do.
They seem different personality-wise. Like, they're wired differently.
They are. They really are. It's just that when it comes to the game, like, have you ever heard LeBron talk about a game in a post-game conference? Like, he knows exactly everything that happened. Who made what shot, when, the how many seconds were left on the shot clock. Like, it's just really ridiculous how he sees. Like, that's why his court vision is the way it is also. So that's the one thing that I also learned. You learn as you go, like, different players, different personalities, different like levels of passion for the game. And it's just all been like, a lot of people, you know, they finish school and then they want to work in sports and they get an office job and they're very good at what they do, but they don't really get to experience and see these outside off the court things there that really make the game and the culture of basketball what it is. And that's very, that was always very important to me, which is why I haven't really tied myself down to any just one thing.
See, we're, this is how we find out that we're wired very differently, because I've always been very Will Leach and Ted Spinney in that I don't really want to know, and I like to keep things at bay, and I don't want to get in that world. I like it being, Dan Rubenstein in The Solid Verbal talks about this, where it's like he looks at sports as a TV show, and when you look at it that way, and you just look at everything from an entertainment value standpoint, it's easier not to get bogged down by the other stuff when you'll see, and you're like, ah. Oh. Because a lot of people think they know somebody, and then they'll get into that world. And I try to stay away from that as much as I possibly can.
Interesting. So, you know, for me, oh, there's interesting music playing. For me, it's always like been, it's not really like off the court stuff when it comes to like a player's family or personal life. Mm-hmm. It's more like what their interests are, because the game has evolved to the point where these players care about so many outside things of just the game of basketball. You know, so many of these guys do fashion. Like, athletes being at Fashion Week is like at its peak, and most of them are NBA players. Mm-hmm. So whether they do that in New York or Europe or, you know, Asia or wherever they go, it's just become such a major part of, you know, like now you have pages like League Fit. Shout out Ian, who runs League Fit. Who just focus on the fashion aspect of it. And a lot of the fashion that these guys wear and put out there has something to do with the history of the game, which is always very interesting. And then, you know, there's things like music, like a lot of these guys, speaking of which just happened, Dame just dropped his album. Like, they have so many other interests. So for me, like, even with the show, with the podcast, like, when I talk to an athlete, it's never about like, oh, this season you averaged 30 and 10. It's more like when I was talking to Kat, like one of the main things with Carl was his relationship and friendship with Mac Miller.
Hmm.
Yeah. And
interesting.
He was.
So they were close.
They were very close. Very, very close. His post after Mac passed on September 7th of last year was very emotional and very personal. And that's something that I, you know, I made sure before I spoke to him, you know, we've been cool for a while, but I made sure that he was cool with me touching on that. And he was like, yeah, of course, like I would love to say something about that.
Hmm. How did they meet?
So it was funny because like just in that space of music and basketball, like, rappers and ballers just hang out in at the same spots. But then Kat said that Mac invited him to his house a bunch of times. And Mac was just that type of dude. Like, he just loved forming relationships and friendships. Like, it was never about what he could get out of someone, you know? Like, it was never like, oh, I'll come watch you play or anything like that. Like, give me tickets. It was more like, we're homies. What do you think about my music? We're friends. You know, like, it was more than that.
He had the natural charm where it just seemed like that dude was just happy to be there and was just cool with everybody.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, it's just like things like that. It's always been that for me. And that's why my passion also is connecting these dots with players and off the court things that they're trying to do. So, yeah.
I'm not sure if you can answer this, but who do you know or do you feel like you know the best or know the most about? Athlete wise in the NBA.
NBA wise?
Mm-hmm.
Like personally?
Yeah.
When D'Lo was here for a couple of years, I got really close with his family. His brother Tone Antonio is a good friend of mine. And you know, they were always great. Like Sean and Craig, his cousins, who helped him out a lot. His CAA rep, the amazing Jess, who just, you know, runs so much for so many guys on the day-to-day basis. I just like got really close with all of them. And then I ended up helping out a little bit with his birthday party this year.
How old is he now?
He turned 20. He turned 23.
That's what I was going to say. In February. It didn't sound right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He turned 23, but you know, Kuz is a guy that, I respect a lot and I get to be around and very lucky to do that. I've gotten very close with Aaron Gordon. Who's a great talent, and they're all around that age. They're 23, 24. So it's kind of like, I feel old and people say I'm young. So it's like weird a little bit. But you know, Spencer Dinwiddie is another guy that's just like such a good soul to be around. You know, I got to meet.
How did they feel about getting split up? So, have you asked them about it? Like the D'Lo Spencer Dinwiddie split?
Spencer. I mean, they were good friends, but I feel like, you know, what D'Angelo wanted was a team to like have his back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he kind of knew it was coming. He kind of knew that, you know, with all the talks with Kyrie and KD, I mean, those have been going on for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much people know about that, but even last summer, like when I was around at those runs, like you heard a lot about that. And
so there was a lot of stock into the KD stuff from this week about like Brooklyn was always the place if he left.
I mean, New York was always the place. I personally thought it was going to be the Knicks. But then the Nets happened.
Was Dinwiddie always pretty confident about them getting at least one of the guys?
I don't know. I haven't asked Spencer. I just know Spencer is the only thing that he's mentioned that he's very, very hype because...
I imagine so, yeah.
Yes, and he's very excited. I'm very happy for him that he signed also the extension last year.
And he's cool with Kyrie too, right? Isn't that been the report that like he was like the secret whisperer to bring in Kyrie?
I don't know how much of that is true. I mean, I'm trying to get... Spencer is spending his summer in L.A. He's from L.A. originally. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get him on the pod when he gets back. So hopefully I can ask
You'll
about
get the
that.
Scoop.
But those youngins are great. Like I love Karis. Karis and Spencer have been in LA working out together. But like close wise, yeah, I would say it's those like younger guys. Got to be around Devin Booker a bunch this season. You know, worked a lot with Irv Roland, who's James Harden's main guy. You know, got to be more around PJ Tucker. Like PJ's the homie. Love PJ. He's just a good personality. Draymond's great. Like Draymond is a really smart guy. People don't realize that as much as they should. And yeah, I don't know. It's just I never really like try to get too close, you know? Yeah. Like I'm not, but I'm like the homie. If they need anything, I'm here for it, you know? But D'Angelo's family is great. Those boys are awesome and wishing them all the best. And he's out, you know, in the Bay and in LA a lot this summer.
Is he happy to be there?
He is. He's very happy.
Okay.
They're all very happy. You know, New York can be a lot sometimes. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of movement. Like you walk out of the house and there's so much going on. California is more relaxed in that sense. But I'm just hyped to see, you know, Steph is probably his favorite player. So I'm really hyped to see.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and they already worked out a bunch together, so I'm really hyped to see where that's going to take him. It's going to take his game to the next level, like, I already know that. But I hope that people always remember what he did for the Brooklyn Nets. Like, he brought excitement,
He could have went out. Like, he could have, like, he was the throw-in of that Lakers trade, and Magic kind of pushed him aside, and all that kind of stuff with Nick Young and everything, and it could have gone the complete other way, and it didn't.
You know, I always say talent perseveres, and he's very talented, and he's a very, very good kid. So, you know, like all that stupid stuff when he was 20, whatever, like that wasn't even, it's not even worth talking about anymore.
And it wasn't fair for Magic to go, like for all that, like it's like he was 20, like it just a dumb
thing. Yeah, and Magic kind of used that as a, this is my excuse for doing this. But, you know, I think it was good for D'Angelo at the end of the day because he became a different person here in New York. mm-hmm. became so much like better just as a human being. I feel like, cause you know, like when you're that young and you're still developing and yeah. you're in LA and there's a lot of like that Hollywood shit going on, it can't always be healthy. But in New York, I feel like you really like achieved that peak, whatever that was that we saw in Brooklyn that was so amazing, you know, like it was just really dope to see. And I'm sad he's gone, but I know it's for the better. So that's where I'm at with that personally.
I can tell you're sad that he's gone. You're genuinely sad that he's gone.
I am, man. Like, you know, like it's those Nets boys, they're my boys. And like I said, I'm like, Tone is my guy. That's his brother. And I just saw him in LA at the Players Tribune event, and that was great. And then I realized, like, damn, like they're not going to be around anymore like that. So, you know, shit happens. Hmm. It's the league. It is what it is. But, I mean, I'm excited. The Warriors are going to be interesting to watch for sure.
So it sounds like you don't think, and D'Lo maybe too, that he's going to get flipped. Because like once that happened, they immediately thought, oh, this is just a placeholder before they flip him for something else. They got something for KD. So you think there's a real chance because of his relationship with Steph and everything else that he actually might stick around and that people shouldn't assume that he's getting moved?
No, they shouldn't assume anything. I feel like right now, I mean, they wouldn't have signed him and made all this hoopla around him if they weren't going to keep him for at least one season to see how this goes. Mm-hmm. Also, with Clay being out, you know, D'Angelo's a shooter. He can fucking shoot from anywhere. He's a bucket.
He's going to go off. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's only going to enhance his style of play. And I mean, like I said, with Clay out, what do the Dubs have to lose right now? They should just run with it, honestly. But yeah, I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see what the Rockets are going to do. I mean, Westbrook is one of my favorite players, and I will die on the Westbrook Hill any day of the week.
I can't join you there. I'm sorry.
I'm not here for the Russ slander. I'm sorry. Okay. That's my guy. But I do hope that they can take some of the pressure off each other. Speaking of James Harden and mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook, and hopefully they don't have to feel like winning a game is on them and then make those mistakes that really frustrate the fans. And that kind of goes smooth. I mean, that's what I'm hoping for, but they're definitely going to be like one of the most fun duos to watch next season.
Do you think, just from your sense of just being around a bunch of different guys, does it seem like, because one of the biggest criticisms towards this era of star basketball players is that they are all friendly with each other, and it's just very different from the rivalries of just yesteryear. Do you think that's true? Do you notice that maybe there are a lot more rivalries that a lot of people just don't even know go in? But or do you think that everybody actually is cool with everybody off the court?
I mean, yeah, it's not the 80s anymore mm-hmm. or the 90s. But I do feel like, I mean, at the end of the day, when you get on the court, like you're on the court, like, yeah. Do you think like people made a huge deal like years back when KD and LeBron were working out together in Miami or some shit? Like those guys get on the court, they still want to beat each other. Like it's not a, oh, buddy, buddy, I'm not going to take this shot because I'm friends with you type thing. You know what I mean? So people just make more of it than it actually is in my eyes. But, you know, like personal rivalries, no, like there's nothing really that like comes to mind that sticks out in particular. Like, I just feel like I said, it's not like a mentality that's going on really anymore, but you know, there's still guys like Patrick Beverley who will go at anybody. They don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's all respect, but you know, there's guys that will give it to you on purpose just because, I don't know, they lost to you last season in the playoffs or something, you know, like that's always there. The competitiveness in basketball, like that hasn't changed. The NBA is still the NBA.
Yeah. How do you get through the NBA offseason usually? Like, what is your, are you already losing your mind at no basketball for a month and a half now, or how do you get through it?
Nope. I'm totally good, because what people don't realize, and I always say this, off season is my on season. Like I had in the last month and a half, I had 3 LA trips. I had to be there for the NBA awards. I had to go to San Francisco for the playoffs, for the finals. Shout out Twitter for that, Twitter Sports and TJ. And I just feel like the second summer hits, it's my craziest time. And, you know, now also like doing the show, it's been a lot. So there's a lot of people coming into the city. I personally, like, I go to the runs. Like, this is that season of hitting me up, random people hitting me up. Hey, Vic, can you get us in the runs? No, bitch, I can't get you in the runs. Like, this is not, like, unless, like, I know you like that and Brickley's cool with it. You know, it's all about Chris. This is his gym. This is his run. And I always ask him before I bring someone. But I get my fair share. Like, even last week, like, I was there and J. Cole was playing, Melo was playing, Lance Stevenson, and who else was in there? Donovan Mitchell has been in. I think Kelly Oubre is in now. Yeah, Donovan Mitchell has been in the city for a while. Trey Young was in town, saw him play. Like, no, guys are here. I'm good. Like, August is kind of, in terms of events and to be at places, it's not much. But June, July is a lot, because I have the Gatorade Athlete Awards in LA. It's my second year that I did it with Kat. I had Go Hoop Day with Chris Paul, also in LA. I had the NBA Draft, Draft Week, Slam Draft Suite. It's like one thing after the other. So
I'm tired just listening to this. I don't know. I couldn't do all this. I would have just canceled all these. Like, I'm notorious for just canceling plans. So yeah, this sounds exhausting.
It's a lot. It's nice when you're getting paid for it. It's nice when you see the product at the end and you're like, damn, like Go Hoop Day with Chris Paul was amazing. Like, it's so dope to even like be around that, you know what I mean? Like, all these kids and what he's doing with the community, and it was on Crenshaw. So it's just like, it means a lot. I really enjoy it. But like I said, I mean, ESPYs week, I did ESPYs week last month, and that was the annual uninterrupted party, which they do really, really well. Shout out to them with Bron. And, you know, I get to see a lot of people that I don't really see a lot, like Rachel Nichols, who's, you know, so amazing and an idol and now a good friend. Cassidy Hubbard, like all these women in sports that I really look up to. Taylor Rooks, even though Taylor's in New York, so I get to see her a little more. But, yeah, you know, it's a good vibe, and a lot of players are in and out of New York, in and out of LA. So there's always something going on. Like, all of this month, like, even now, Baron Davis is in town, and Baron was like, Vic, where are the runs at? So I hit up Brickley, and, you know, he said, come through Monday. So going Monday, I don't know if
when Baron you say Brickley, still... you mean the shooting coach?
Chris Brickley, yes.
Yeah.
Not okay. Just the shooting coach. He's just the trainer for
everything. I associate him as shooting coach.
Yeah, he trains. He does a lot. And he's great at it, you know. So he's built this summer run culture. He, you know, he was with the Knicks, and that's how him and Melo became really close. And Hoodie Melo was originated by Carmelo Anthony and Chris Brickley.
Hmm.
Yes. So that's how all that
happened.
When
you say originated, like, they came up with it? It wasn't just like an accident that him just wearing a hoodie all the time, or they actually talked about putting on a hoodie and like making this part of him?
No, they didn't talk about it. Oh, okay. It's just Melo decided like he wanted to run, and it was raining one night. He wanted to literally run at a soccer field in the middle of the summer, and he put a hoodie on, and Chris was with him and took a video, and that became Hoodie Melo. And then the runs happened at Lifetime at Sky, and that's how it's been going. So, you know, when you have like guys coming in like LeBron, for example, and like Ben Simmons, like one day out of the year or a few days out of the year, it's like we keep it very tight. So like Brick would be like, oh, I don't know who that person is, like, get him out of the gym, because you want to protect the player, at the talent, at the end of the day. But yeah, I mean, it's, he, like, that's the culture of NYC basketball in the summer, and it never gets boring for me. Like, yeah, I'm excited for the season to start, of course, but because I just want to see like how all of this is going to pan out with the new, like everybody moving around in the league. But there's always like, I mean, even last summer, like it was like Melo, Chris Paul, James Harden, like playing in the gym all together. I got to see that before everyone else did, you know? So it's just fun for me. Like, I'm just chilling.
What does Melo do post NBA career? What do you think he actually does?
I don't think he's done yet. I don't even want to think about that. I mean,
he's getting signed.
I mean, I hope he is. I hope he is, because the league is doing him wrong right now. They're doing him dirty, in my opinion. Because Melo is still a bucket. Melo can still close out games. Melo will still make that three from anywhere. So that's kind of my two cents on it that I can really talk about.
Yeah.
But he's been doing the business aspect very well for years.
The watches.
The fashion aspect, you know, he did like, not every NBA player or athlete in general can do a full Valentino sponsorship campaign. He did a full Valentino campaign. I mean, that in and of itself is a great accomplishment for an athlete. But Melo's an entrepreneur. I feel like that's a lane that he will continue to take and do it very well. And he has amazing people around him. And yeah, I mean, it was kind of sad. Like, I was at D-Wade's, I think the Heat's final game was against the Nets. So I went to D-Wade's party, like his final game party, which was in New York. And Melo was there to support him and, you know, a lot of other players. But you saw that brotherhood, that partnership, that friendship they have. And it was kind of sad, you know, because obviously D-Wade is one of the greats. And I don't know, I was just, like, even thinking about it now, I'm like, damn, I was in that room. But also, like, it's a lot of emotions going through, just, you know, thinking about Melo possibly never playing again in the league.
I understand. It sounds like you are a big Kuz person.
Yes.
Do you think he actually could be a third star? Because that's when things get dicey. And that obviously got NBA Twitter into,
NBA Twitter is a bunch of blog boys just talking, which is also, like, fine, you know? NBA Twitter is great. It's dope. It's a space that basketball needed. But when it comes to Kyle, like, I can't. When it comes to any Laker, I'm biased.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to Kyle, like, I actually see how hard he works and how much he's improved. He's only 2 years in. Like, what do people want him to do? He was picked 27th, not second. You know what I mean? Like, what do you want from him? Like, 25 and 15 every night? Like, he can do that. But just think, like, talking about being a third star, there's a finesse in that in it of itself, because do you know how hard it is to play with a powerhouse like LeBron, and now you add another powerhouse in Anthony Davis? Just to be around those guys is a lot of pressure. And he took that pressure. He applied it. He works hard. He's not like, people are like, oh, he's, you know, he's on Instagram or whatever. No, he's not. He's actually he's in Vegas right now working out and going to China. He easily could have dropped out and just hung out with models in LA for the rest of the summer for another month. But guess what? He's putting work in. So that's why I'm just like, do people just like to talk? And I guess that's what
it is. I
think
it's more they're annoyed at, like, okay, so like it's setting unreasonable expectations on this kid, because
But that's what I'm saying. Like, he wasn't picked second. He's not Brandon Ingram. And he took all that pressure, and he, like I said, like, he had some huge games last season, and he's improving. I can't say that, you know, like, he's reached his peak and plateaued. Like, that's just false. He's only getting better. Like, he's working on his shot. He's adding different facets into his game. So if people can't see that, and if they want to look at just because he's marketable and he's, you know, a good looking kid and he's a Laker and he has a lot of followers and a lot of engagement, that doesn't mean that that's what he does all day.
Right. I think people even still understand that. I think everybody likes Kuzma. I think they'd all just kind of see him as a role player. And then, but it's like, what do you think he's supposed to say when he's asked about this kind of stuff in that ESPN piece where it's like, he basically just says, like, I believe that I can get there as a superstar. And it's like, well, I don't think there's any current NBA player that doesn't think they can still be a superstar. You kind of have to have that mindset if you're a professional athlete. So I don't understand why people get upset about stuff like that. It's like, what do you think they're supposed to say?
And this is exactly my point. Like, you said it the right way. When you ask a player, like, people get mad when a player says, when somebody asks, when they ask KD, do you think you're the best player in the league? Yes, I am. And then people are like, how dare he say that? LeBron's clearly better. Like, what do you want him to say? Do you want him to be like, yeah, you know what? I'm not as good. And I don't think I can be as good. Like, what the fuck is that?
Right. Like, imagine if every player was like, well, I can't be Michael Jordan. So
you want to be that and you want to challenge the best always, and you always feel like you can be the best, or you are. And like, you can't ever say, ask a player, like, and like, athletes' egos are also up there, like, mm-hmm. Let's be honest, how many players are on a team, on a roster? There's millions of basketball players around the world. There's 12 people on the Lakers, and you're a Laker.
Yeah,
that is a big fucking deal. Yes, his ego is up there. Yes, he thinks he can be better next year. And yes, he thinks that he can contribute to Anthony Davis and LeBron James. If he would have said anything other than that, I personally would have been mad at him. It's just what it is. Like, I'm sorry. Like, if you ask me, like, oh, do you think your podcast is the most interesting one, new podcast, out there, right?
Let me
now
tell you.
In sports, yes. I'd be like, absolutely, fuck yes. It's me, and I'm trying to get better every day.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
like, you have to be you have to be your own biggest fan, and if you don't believe in your own product, no one else is going to believe in it either.
Exactly. And that's the marketing 101 over there, my friend. Like, that's just what it is. Like, you have to have that mindset, and I'm so very happy that he does.
Yeah.
And if anyone's judging that, then God bless them. Like, I'm sorry.
And people just don't realize, like, I think how difficult it's going to be to play next to these two this year. Like, you have to have that mindset. There's going to be so many eyeballs on you, especially with Kawhi and Paul George sharing the arena. There's just going to be so many eyeballs on what Kuzma does anyway, because he's the remainder of that trade. Like, he's the guy who stuck around. And it's just,
people, you think, like, you think, like, he doesn't know that, he doesn't acknowledge,
he's aware,
that people are out there saying, well, we actually kept the guy that we should have traded. Do you think he's happy with, like, hearing that from fans? He knows what it is. He peeps everything too. He's on social media a few minutes a day. Yeah, tell me.
I would have moved him and kept Lonzo. Like, I would have done everything I could to just keep Lonzo, because I think I would be way more in on this Lakers team if Lonzo was still there, not Kuzma.
Listen, again, that's a personal opinion.
Yes, 100%. I'm just a huge Lonzo guy, and
I would have loved
standpoint. It looks better to me. And I think Lonzo would have been perfect with those two, and just, I don't know. I think it's going to be hard for those three to share the floor at crunch time. I just have to see it.
Okay. That's fair. Listen, I have to see it too. We haven't seen it. So
we haven't. Yeah.
We haven't. And with Bron being hurt and out for so long, and, you know, AD has his issues too sometimes and misses a bunch of games. So, yeah, I would love to see how that goes. But I'm not mad at them. I would have loved to, when we kept all the kids, we didn't trade anyone for AD in February, I was elated. But at the same time, when you have a once in a generation type talent like Anthony Davis, you go for it. And I'm very excited to see what the Pelicans are going to do, because I feel like those kids are just going to flourish together. They're going to be their best selves. And I hope that Zoe can be healthy, and I hope that Ingram can be healthy.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just world peace, you know, I'm just happy for everybody.
I think that the last thing I want to ask you, do you think guys, it seems like because there's something else going on, that there's been a lot of made about just a lot of guys skipping out on Team USA.
Yeah.
Do you think guys actually do? What do you think? Do you think it's a problem that they're all skipping out? Do you think they're missing an opportunity? Do you think it really matters? Do you think it just doesn't matter as much as it used to years ago? Or what do you think the rationale behind all these guys?
I feel like this kind of always happens. Mm-hmm. Like in 2004, the boys were there, like, and they lost, right? And then mm-hmm. they brought in, like, Kobe did 2008, Bron did 2008, and then D Wade, and then they won, and that was a huge deal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just feel like.
So what you're saying that, is they need to lose.
No. I'm saying, like, I see a lot of the younger guys, like, Kemba's doing it, and Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum, just a lot of Celtics on there. You know, Kuz and those guys. And it's fine for like these guys that dropped out. Like there have been so many pieces moving this off season that I kind of get it. Like guys just like, oh, like now we got to go to China and there's been a lot of injuries. So, you know, guys are not trying to get injured before this big season of just power shift in the NBA. So I don't really see it as a problem. I mean, I'll still be watching. And I think it's great for the younger guys like Tatum and Kuz and them to kind of be the leaders of that, you know, to really like take charge of a team and gain that experience. I think it's great.
I think it should just be like the college kids anyway. Like I would change the rule to like just college kids and just move on and keep it away from all those guys and give them that kind of experience. And I mean, there's a lot of college coaches anyway, and they get a chance to work with NBA coaches and that kind of, I don't know. I feel like that's the way to get around all of this and putting these athletes in a tough spot where it's like they just had a long year in the NBA game. These seasons are long for a lot of these guys and they just want to rest their body. And I get it. I don't think we should expect anyone to play if they are just like, I've had a long year and I know this year's going to be long. If I can limit my exposure in any way, I'm going to do that. And I think that's fine.
Yeah, I agree.
Vic, this has been great. I have taken entirely too much of your time, but I appreciate it.
All good. I enjoy it.
Well, I have one final question for you and then we'll be done. Based on your 45 minutes with me on this podcast, which athlete that you're cool with do you think would be the best fit on this podcast? Who would I get along with best?
Oh, man. I like, you know, you kind of let me do a lot of the talking. So you need somebody that would like, I think Spencer Dinwiddie would be great on here because you kind of like drop the little hints and Spencer would just go with it because he's like, he's just so fun. He's such a fun personality. But also, I would say, I think I would go with Spencer. Spencer would be great. Yeah.
All right. Well, Vic, the ball is in your court. If you want to put feelers out there for Spencer Dinwiddie to come on and allow me to let him just go all in on all kinds of topics because of my journalistic integrity and the way I drop questions and let the interviewee speak so we'll get his opinion out. Absolutely. So
for sure. When I get him to do mine, I'll ask him about yours. How's that?
He can do a podcast tour, the Chase and Vic podcast tour 1 week.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate it, Chase. Thanks so much.
And that'll do it for today's episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast. I just want to remind you guys, if you like today's episode and you are subscribed on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, I would really appreciate if you could take a second and leave the show a 5-star rating and a review. If you're not an Apple Podcast listener, remember you can find the show on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Be sure to check out ChaseThomasPodcast.com where you can access all of my previous episodes and also find all my writing. I'm writing there fairly often. And also follow me on Twitter at Chase_Thomas and like the Facebook page at facebook.com/ChaseThomasWriter. Thank you for your support and we'll be back with another episode very soon. Thanks guys.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. legends whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.